There is no doubt Scrooge was unhappy. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm going to relate.
On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring.
Citing research done by the Ghost of Christmas Past, psychologist Susan Matthews concludes Ebenezer Scrooge was in pain.
The longer that I work with people and the more I encounter people who have had life struggles or who are currently in pain, the more I realize that people tend to do the things they do for a reason. I find that life experiences absolutely shape our actions, whatever they may be.
His case history shows at an early age, Scrooge suffered neglect and possibly mental abuse. His father banished Scrooge, first enrolling him in a boarding school and then indenturing his son in an apprenticeship. Such rejection by a parent, according to Matthews, enhances insecurity. Insecure people, Matthews says, often try to control their environment through possessions.
That's the first thing that I think about, is a sense of holding on to gain a sense of security, having some sort of something to give him a stable base if he doesn't feel like he has it in his relationships with his family, which clearly he didn't.
There is also grief. Scrooge lost his mother and then his sister Fan, with whom he shared a loving relationship. Such loss, when unaddressed, can make other close relationships daunting, thus his rejection of marriage.
It's important now that I use my time and opportunities wisely.
Another idol has displaced me.
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one. All your hopes have merged into a master passion. Profit. The thought of money engrosses you.
Perhaps I've become wiser.
If there is insufficient support in helping someone move through grief, then it creates, the easiest way to think about it is just stuckness. It creates emotional stuckness at whatever point in someone's life that occurs. So absolutely, I think one response to that may be, this was painful enough, I don't want to open myself up to anything else.
Anxiety may also explain Scrooge's antisocial behaviors. The University of Kentucky psychologist explains people uncomfortable in social situations sometimes lash out.
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. My taxes help to support the public institutions which I have mentioned, and they cost enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, perhaps they had better do so and decrease the surplus population.
Scrooge's problem may have a different explanation. Too often, social psychologist Nathan DeWall says Scrooge is misdiagnosed. He's dismissed as a complete jerk. No mortal being understands something deeper is doing damage here.
For me, the big thing that pops out at me in the story is how he is a really lonely guy. And we know that just as humans want to be happy and things like that, one basic and fundamental motivation that we have is to have positive and lasting relationships with other people.
DeWall says Scrooge is a lonely man and as a result perceives hostility where none exists. In being lonely, the University of Kentucky psychologist says Scrooge is not alone.
I think a lot of times people trivialize the power of this stuff, but the effects of loneliness on your health are just as strong as the effect of smoking on your health or obesity on your health. I mean, it's a killer.
Why can't we be friends?
You are wasting my time.
I'm sorry to find you so resolute. We've never had a quarrel, so far as I know.
It's not that people didn't reach out to Scrooge. His nephew made an effort, as did his clerk. But Scrooge remained out of reach. Therapy, when it came, was more objective and more mercurial.
Why do spirits walk the earth? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared.
Scrooge's ghostly guides to good mental health operated outside the conventions of Victorian society and the laws of physics.
So we've got a very, very crabby, selfish guy who basically has no social ties, very, very socially disconnected. And it's not surprising that the hook that gets him back into humanity, so to speak, is having him take the perspective of other people, realizing that he's sort of all alone, and also that he's inflicting harm on other people. And then you see the turnaround, right?
In ways, their therapy was unconventional. But Dr. Susan Matthews sees parallels between modern methods and the techniques applied by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. Today, Matthews says, it's called an intervention.
When I was thinking about what sort of therapeutic approaches or interventions they best represent, I would say it's exposure therapy, by exposing him to his past actions and memories, and as well as looking forward and giving him a sense of this is the path that you're on. I think that, that's what occurred to me the most.
Sometimes an intervention doesn't work, but it did with Ebenezer Scrooge.
Thank you, Spirit. I will keep my promise. I will live in the past, present, and the future. The spirits of all three will strive within me. Oh, heaven and Christmas time be praised for this. I say this on my knees, Jacob Marley. On my knees.
We know from his case notes, Scrooge was as good as his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. And for the rest of his life, so the story goes, he enjoyed good mental health. For WEKU News, I'm Charles Compton.